My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, children who walk in the light of our God, did you watch the eclipse this past week? And if you did, isn't God's creation utterly amazing? That moon sneaks up on the sun and it slides across, creating that shadow. And as it creates that shadow, the sky starts to get that dark, eerie gloom that you look out and you're like, it's just not right out there. Something's not right. And then as you're watching it, you notice the temperature starts to go down, and it seems to go down pretty quickly and pretty significantly. And then if you have those special glasses so that you can look at the sun, even though your mother told you never look directly at the sun, you can see the way that the shape of the moon covers over and diminishes the brightness and the brilliance of that sun as it passes over. And then just like that, what happens? Just like that, the moon slides away and the temperature starts to go up and that eerie gloom disappears. And before you know it, the sun is shining with all its brilliance and the day carries on just like it had before. And as you think about that eclipse and the way that moon sneaks in front of the sun and causes that shadow, and how that shadow can affect so much, just one thing after another in such a short amount of time, you have a picture of what John is trying to explain to you as he writes and says to you and describes God to you. He says to you in his letter, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. You see, our God is a bit like that sun. With all of its brilliance, there is no shadow in him. He is pure. He is holy. He is loving and he is just. And he allows the brilliance of his mercy and grace to continue to shine down on us without stopping. He does not desire that any sinner perish. He wants all sinners to come to a knowledge of his Son. He shows his love and his mercy to generation after generation after generation of those who love him. And so John describes God as light. And as he describes John as light, or as he describes God as light, he also helps us understand what isn't there. There is nothing in God that limits the shining of his grace and mercy upon us. Nothing limits the brilliance of his majesty and glory at all. Because God is not evil. And God does not deceive you. And God does not manipulate you. He does not say one thing and then do another. There is nothing in God that hints at even the remotest possibility of anything evil or anything wicked being in him. In God, there is no darkness at all. And as children of God, you walk in that light. And as you walk in the light of God, there's a special relationship that is there, a special unity and a fellowship that you have. And the way that we walk as that child of light, in the light of God, that also affects the way that we walk in unity and fellowship with one another, who are the body of Christ. And yet, as we walk as a child of the light, as we walk in the light of our God, there are shadows that come up, shadows that try and diminish the brilliance of our God and the brilliance of his grace and the brilliance of his mercy, just like that moon tried to come up and hide the brilliance of the sun for a little bit. And so John lays out for us in his letter three different ways that those shadows come up and those shadows try and keep the brilliance of our God and the brilliance of his grace and the brilliance of his mercy from shining down on us. And the result of those shadows is that unity and fellowship we have with God, that's weakened. And the unity and fellowship we have with the people around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that also is weakened. And that first shadow that comes in and interrupts that unity and fellowship we have with God is found in the way that we walk as a child of the light. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of stepping on a Lego in your bare feet. Somebody tells me you've experienced that before. The pain that comes from stepping on a Lego in your bare feet is enough pain to take down an elephant. If you're going to walk through a room that has Legos scattered around it, and you happen to be on your bare feet, and your shoes happen to be on the other side of the room, you are going to leave the light on so that you don't step on any one of those pieces of Lego, so that you make it safely across. If we claim to have fellowship with God, if we claim to have a unity with Him, that means that we are claiming to walk in His light. That's the equivalent of saying that we are going to walk across that room filled with Legos, and we are going to keep the light shining so that we can see where we step and we can see where we are not going to step. And yet John warns us, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. You see, walking in darkness is something that has a way of sneaking up on us, the same way that moon sneaks up on the sun. And walking in darkness means that we start to take actions and attitudes in our life that affect either ourselves or the people around us in the same way stepping on that Lego affects our foot. And that walking in darkness, that's described in numerous different ways throughout Scripture. Walking in darkness can include having some hint of sexual immorality that's entered into your life. Walking in darkness can include having some kind of impure thought or impure motive that enters into your actions. Walking in darkness includes being obscene. It includes talking foolishly or vainly about yourself or about someone else. Walking in darkness can include the idea of walking with an attitude that's filled with greed, or walking with eyes that are always looking and always coveting or always lusting. We are walking in darkness when we find ourselves ripping people apart behind their backs. We are walking in darkness when we see someone and we make it a point to tear them down, whether we're tearing them down mentally or emotionally, trying to exercise some kind of power, some kind of control over them as we do so. And if you find yourself walking in these ways, and you say to yourself, but I'm a child of the light and I'm walking in the light, John says, you are lying to yourself. But John also comes to you and says, but you are a child of the light. And you are someone who is walking in the light because you've been purified by the blood of Jesus. That means that you don't belong to the darkness anymore. You are light in the Lord. And he says, because you don't belong in the darkness, because you are light in the Lord, don't yoke yourself with these things that are included in walking in darkness. Walk in such a way that you seek to do what is pleasing to God. And as you walk as a child of the light, in the light of your God, you know what is good and pleasing to God. Because you're urged in Scripture to walk in goodness, and to walk in righteousness, and to walk in truth. And you're able to do these things because you walk in the light of God, who is good, and who is righteous, and who is true. John then comes and describes a second shadow that has a way of trying to diminish the brilliance of God's mercy and grace as he shines on us. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, and with these words, John kind of ups the ante now. Before, he was just talking about the way that we walk as we walk in the light of God. Now he's not just talking about the way that we walk that interrupts that unity and fellowship with our God. He's also talking about the attitudes that we carry as we walk. Because it's not just our actions that can ruin the unity and fellowship we have with God and with one another. It's also the attitudes we carry and the attitudes that we approach one another with that can ruin the unity and fellowship we have with God and with one another. And yet you can sit here, can't you? And you say, but Pastor, I'm in church today. That's because I'm a sinner. And so I don't have to worry about this. Because I know I'm a sinner, and I know I have a sinful nature, and I've confessed my sin. So why are you talking to me about this attitude of sin when I already know it, and I already do it, and I already act in this way? There's this thing called pride. And pride has a way of sitting in the hearts. And as pride sits in the heart, one of the things it tries to do is minimize the impact of sin in your life. And it's very subtle in the way that it does it. It takes something like a little lie, and it says, you know that little lie? It's okay to tell that little lie. Maybe by telling the little lie, you're not hurting someone's feeling. Maybe by telling the little lie, you're not casting the seed of doubt. Maybe by telling the little lie, maybe you're actually helping them and getting them to improve. And so it's okay to tell the little lie. Or sometimes that pride sits there and says, there's some news out there. And I want to hear that news, and I want to listen to that news. And the ears start itching, and you hear someone talking, you go over so you can catch up on what the latest news is. And what does the pride say? The pride says, well, it's okay to listen. It's okay to get the latest news. It's okay to get the latest gossip and what this person is saying and what that person is saying. It's not really gossip unless I start telling other people, right? It's okay to listen. It's just not okay to spread it. Except as that pride takes root in the hearts, that pride doesn't just stop with dismissing the little sin. That pride starts to claim that those little sins, and then eventually those little bigger sins, and eventually those little bigger sins, they're not even sin anymore. Pride has a way of trying to come in and dismiss sin completely. It tries to find a way to justify the wickedness of the heart. It tries to find a way to call the things that God says evil, good. And the things that God says are wickedness as beneficial. But in God, there is no darkness at all. He doesn't deceive us by pointing out to us, you have a sinful nature and you have a sinful heart, and this leads to sinful actions, and then ignore it and say, but it doesn't really matter. God hates all wickedness. And God hates all sin. And so we dare not let our pride come into our hearts and deceive us into thinking that somehow those sins don't matter anymore, or somehow God's going to turn a blind eye. Instead, John urges you to continue to walk as a child of that light, not just in your actions, but also in your attitudes. And God, who is light, helps you continue to walk as that child of the light. Because God is faithful to his promises, and God is just as he said. And so God doesn't come to you and act like that grandpa. Maybe your grandpa was like this occasionally, where you were getting into mischief as a kid, and your grandpa saw you getting into mischief, and you looked over and you saw him laughing at you because he was getting a kick out of whatever you were doing. And then he kind of tries to hide that laugh so that he wouldn't get in trouble from grandma. And then he turns his eyes and looks the other way and just ignores you while you go and carry on with your mischief. God's not like that. God doesn't chuckle at our sin and then look the other way. But God is faithful to what he's promised. And so God promises that when we turn to Him in contrition and repentance, when we acknowledge the sins that we've committed and the attitudes that we carry, He promises to us that He will forgive us. And He equips us to continue to walk as that child of light through daily contrition and repentance. And He equips us to remember who we are. At one time we were in darkness, but now we have been brought into the light through Jesus our Savior. At one time we were blind to our sin, but now we have been purified by the blood of Jesus. And having been purified by the blood of Jesus, we are reunited once again in fellowship with our God, and we are equipped to walk in unity and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we walk together as children of light, not just in our actions, but also in our attitudes. And yet there is one more way that that shadow tries to come in and hide the brilliance of God's mercy and grace. John says to you, "My children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." God's desire is that you don't sin. He wants to rejoice in the fellowship that He has with you and rejoice in the fellowship you have with one another. He wants you to continue to walk as that child of the light. But He also knows that we have a sinful nature. And He knows that we do sin. And He knows that we do rely on Christ our Savior. And so He urges us not to minimize the sin that we've committed, not to sit there and say, because Christ died for me, that sin doesn't matter anymore. Don't make light of your sin, because you hold to Christ, who has redeemed you and bought you. But at the same time, He urges you to remember that you are a sinner and your brother and sister in Christ are a sinner as well. And so when you see someone who slips into a sin that you have not yet had an opportunity to slip into, instead of looking down at them and ridiculing them or pushing them away, He urges you to remember that you are in the same place they are, that you are a sinner just as they are, that you have a sinful nature that you combat just as they do, and that you need the same help that they need. And John shows us where that help comes from. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our God, who is light, is faithful to everything He has said. He is faithful to that mercy and grace that shines down from His holiness. And so He sends His Son to restore that fellowship and unity with Him. And He sends His Son to strengthen that fellowship and unity that we have with one another. And Jesus, who comes as the light of the world, speaks up in our defense. And He assures us that our sins are forgiven. And He assures us that we are that child of the light. And He assures us that He equips us to continue to walk as that child of the light. And He does that not only for you, but He does it for everyone who has sinned in the whole world. As you watched the eclipse this past week, you saw what happens and the effects of what happens when a shadow tries to cover up the brilliance of the sun. As we walk as children of the light, we are urged to keep those shadows from hiding the brilliance of our God. Turn away from the darkness of sin. But in those moments when that brilliance is hidden, and when the shadow of our sin starts to hide our God from us, in those moments, our God sends His Son into the darkness, so that His Son can rescue us, so that His Son can pull us back to Him through the forgiveness of sins. And having purified us, He equips us not only to rejoice in who we are as children of God, but He equips us to walk as His children in His light, As we keep the fellowship and unity we have with our God, and as we keep the fellowship and unity we have with one another. Amen.